We are continuing the series, The Seven Signs of John, and this morning we're looking at the royal official's son. And I've challenged you to take each reading during the week and ask yourselves four questions. And those four questions are, what does this story say to me about people? What does this story say to me about Jesus? What is God speaking to me? And who else needs to hear this story? And so this morning we are looking at John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, which is the story of the royal official's son. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on his way, his servants met him, and the news that his son was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at the second sign this morning, which is the royal official's son. First, I want to get started with some little humorous. I heard about this man, and he was in his house, and there was incredible torrential rains, and the floods begin to come, and they begin to rise, and so the man was on his porch, and a neighbor came by in a canoe, and the neighbor asked him if he needed a ride to safety, and the man said, no, I'm praying for a miracle, and God will save me. And so a little while later, the waters kept rising, and got up to the second story. So he was up in the second story window, and a rescue boat came by, and they asked him if he needed a ride, and he said, no, I'm praying for a miracle and God will save me. And so finally the waters kept rising some more. He had to cut a hole in the roof and climbed up on a roof, and a Coast Guard helicopter came by and asked him if he needed to be rescued. He said, no, I'm praying for a miracle. God will save me. Well, the waters kept rising and got swept away and ended up drowning and went to heaven. He's at the pearly gates and Jesus was there to greet them. And the man looked at Jesus and said, you know, I'm a believer. I prayed for a miracle and nothing happened. Jesus looked at him and said, you dummy, I sent a canoe, a boat, and a helicopter. What did you have in mind? You know, sometimes we have desperate prayers in our life because we have desperate needs. And this morning reading reminds us of times of desperate prayer and the way God comes into our lives, sometimes in unexpected ways. And so I invite you to walk back into this story this morning. You'll recall that I said, and as Tim read that scripture reading in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says that there's many other signs that Jesus did, but these signs are recorded so that you might believe, and in believing you might have life. And a notion that we believe is that for John, a sign isn't just a miracle, it's a miracle with a message. And so it has a message for each of us, and so we want to unpack what that might mean to us this morning. And so if you walk back into the story, this royal official is coming to Jesus, and Jesus is at Cana in Galilee, and John reminds us that this is where the first sign took place, which was Jesus' miracle of turning the water into wine at the wedding celebration. Now, it kind of reminds us, doesn't it? I mean, one lesson that I sort of draw from this is that we need to open our hearts and lives and invite Jesus into our celebrations as well as our desperate needs. You know, sometimes we wait for the desperate need to happen to really come to the Lord with our needs. And so Jesus was there at the wedding feast, a time of celebration. It might have been an overwhelming need when you run out of wine, but you invite Christ into your relationships, into your weddings, and as well as the crisis in need. And so we come back to this place where Jesus met our real need at the wedding. But this need is far, far greater. And we're told that this man's son lay sick, dying. He heard of Jesus. Perhaps he was even at that wedding at Cana in Galilee. And he walks all the way from Capernaum to Cana in Galilee. Now that is quite a walk, by the way. And it reminds me that this man must have been incredibly desperate because, I mean, if you're a parent with a sick child, you want to be by that child's side, don't you? And so he must have realized that the only hope his son had was that he would go to Jesus. And so with the little faith that he had, he made that long walk to Cana in Galilee. It was quite a ways, we know. And he comes to Jesus, and he pleads with Jesus and tells Jesus that his son is sick. Now, Jesus pushes back a little bit, doesn't he? Jesus, and it wasn't just this man, it was all the people who'd gathered around him and said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, the man pushes that aside because he has a desperate need, and many times it's only in desperation we sort of push back on all the philosophical arguments and what have you. He said, please, my son is dying. And Jesus looked at the man and must have seen his faith, and Jesus said, go, your son will live. And we're told that he believed Jesus' word and departed. The first thing I want to focus on is that sometimes we're desperate and we have God-sized needs. Anyone ever have a God-sized need? You're just desperate. I mean, maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe it's an illness that's touching your heart and life, and it drives you to your knees in despair. This isn't a wedding feast kind of a need. This is my son is laying sick. He's desperate, and we need your help. And so there's God-sized needs in our life. And I think John is reminding us that when we have a God-sized need, the person we need to come to is Christ. And so if you have a God-sized need this morning, I think this invites us into the Lord's presence, not only in this sanctuary, but also in our life in every way that comes. The next thing I want to think about is that, you know, God-sized needs often drive us to God-sized prayers, right? That's what should happen. I think that's what God wants us to happen. And so this man had a God-sized prayer, and he said, please, come with me and heal my son. Come with me and heal my son. And in that God-sized moment, God-sized need, Jesus says, go, your son will live. It's an amazing promise, isn't it? Go, your son will live. Now, notice that Jesus didn't do what the man asked, okay? The man, you recall, said what? Come, my son needs healing. And Jesus said, go, your son will live. And then the word says, so the man believed Jesus at his word and departed. You know, when we have a God-sized prayer, we need to be able to take a step of faith. I mean, sometimes it's a canoe, sometimes it's a boat, sometimes it's a helicopter, right? But sometimes we need to be challenged to do something a little different than whatever our plans need to be. Because God-sized prayers are often answered in God-sized ways we might not normally recognize. And so it was in this case. So there was a God-sized need, and then there was a God-sized prayer. And I wonder in your own life what God-sized prayer you have this morning. Or maybe you've had that moment in your life where you were desperate and the only person you can come to is the Lord. And if you think about it for a moment, I mean, the Bible is full of moments in history when people had real God-sized needs. They were desperate and had a God-sized prayer and God met them. I think of Moses and people of Israel who were in slavery in Egypt and needed to be freed from Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. And Moses and the children of Israel pleaded with a God-sized prayer, and God met their need. Not exactly the way they thought it would happen, but God met their need. I think of David before Goliath, and David, in that moment of faith, had a God-sized need, a giant-sized need, and had a God-sized prayer, and God met the need. Now, notice that a God-sized prayer doesn't mean it's a long prayer. I mean, sometimes when we think of a God-sized prayer, it must be eloquent, it must be long, and it must have big words. Are you with me? Like, the longer the prayer, the more beautiful and eloquent the prayer, the more effective the prayer. But when David prayed and Goliath was there and he only had, you know, some stones and a slingshot, I think that was a pretty quick prayer. Would you agree? And this man has a real quick, I mean, he was praying all the way there, but what was his prayer? Come and heal my son. You know, Jesus reminds us that it's not how long and eloquent our prayers are, but the simple prayers that we pray in spirit and in truth. And so if we just open our hearts and lives to God, that's the God-sized prayer, and God hears those prayers. And so there's God-sized needs sometimes in our life, and there's God-sized prayers. And the last kind of lesson I want us to think about is that there's a journey of faith that takes place. Now, I want you to notice there's three separate points of believing that are at different levels in this story this morning. So the first is that this man, and he probably didn't know much about Jesus because this is early in Jesus' ministry. I mean, maybe he was at the wedding when the water was turned into wine. Perhaps he'd only heard rumors about that, but this man is so desperate that he knows that only Jesus can make a difference in his son's life. But he has the faith. It says he believed that Jesus could make a difference, and so he made the walk from Capernaum to Cana in Galilee. And sometimes in our own lives, that our faith drives us so that we only can take one step of faith at a time. And so the only thing this man could see was one step of faith after another, all the way to Cana in Galilee. Then the next step is the man asked Jesus to come and heal his son. And what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't come. He said, go, your son will live. And it said the man believed Jesus at his word and departed. And that's the next step of faith. You see, Jesus didn't do exactly what the man thought. I mean, he wanted his son healed, but he wanted Jesus to go with him to his home. And Jesus pushed him a little bit in his faith so he could grow a little bit. Just take him at his word. And many times that's what you and I need to do with God's promises. We need to trust the promises of our Lord. And so Jesus said, go, your son will live. And the man believed and he departed. The third place that his faith grows is that on his way back to Capernaum, along the way, his servants have run to meet him. It was quite a journey, we know. It's the next day, as a matter of fact. And the servants come and tell him that his son is getting better, that his son is well. When he asks what time his son was healed, they tell him it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And he realizes that it was the exact time that Jesus said, go, your son will live. And so it says again, he believed in all his household. So he believed each time, but I believe that each step of the way, he got deeper in his faith and life. I think maybe that's the same way in our own lives. You know, when we face challenge and adversity and difficulty, we take a step of faith, and in that step of faith, we begin to grow in faith, and maybe God meets our needs the way that we wanted God to, or maybe God changes that a little bit. We take another step of faith and accept God's promise and God's word, and we begin to grow in faith there. And then maybe there's something else, and then God pushes along in faith, and it's amazing how we grow in faith in life. I invite you to think back about the moments in your life where you faced the greatest difficulties and the greatest challenges, and it's probably the same times when you felt God's presence and God was closest to you. And so in our adversity, in our challenges, our faith grows if we're willing to take a step of faith, one step at a time. Now, things don't always turn out the way we'd like. I'm reminded of the story of Joni Erickson Tada. I don't know if you're familiar with her story and her ministry, but Joni Erickson Tada, when she was a teenager, took a dive into a pond. And when she dove in there, she hit her head on a rock, and all of a sudden she injured her spine very severely, and she instantly became a paraplegic. Now, she was rescued from the water, taken to the hospital, and she spent many months in the hospital. And she recalls that she was laying in the bed and praying to God that someone had put a plaque up on her wall that said, the Lord will make a hedge around you. And she was thinking, gee, you know, what I'd like to do is to be healed. But she realized that God sort of spoke to her and said, you know, sometimes that hedge that God puts up is so that we can only look up to God. And in looking up to God, we see that God is working in her heart and life. And she had a lot of time to look at that sign. Well, God never healed her exactly like she had prayed to be healed. But what God did was use that moment in her life to transform her life into an amazing miracle of ministry. She has an incredible story, and she's an incredible speaker. She's a woman with a deep and powerful faith, a great story. And she also takes a paintbrush, and she puts it in her mouth and dips it in paint and paints the most amazing paintings. You would just not believe that anyone could do that. And so she's got an amazing story of faith. But I think what she would say, and she would remind us, is that God works through the adversity and difficulties of life. And we need to take a step of faith. And sometimes that step of faith is only one step at a time. But if we do that, God will lead us into deeper and deeper and deeper levels of faith. So I don't know where you are this morning with your needs. I mean, maybe you're just facing a little need. Or maybe you're facing a desperate God-sized need. But I think John would remind us, and Jesus would invite us, that God wants to be part of our lives. Whether it's a wedding or a desperate need that we have, God invites us. And when we come to him with our big needs and our small needs and everywhere in between, that he will be present in our life. And that he's at work in our life, not always exactly the way that we see it, but he's at work. I know in my life, many times I have stood in a hospital room or other places and prayed with people, many of you out there, and sometimes God has worked an incredible miracle of healing or what have you, or a financial miracle. Other times things did not work out the way that I saw it, but I believe that God was always at work. And sometimes it just takes taking God at His word that He is alive, that His promises are true, and that He will see us each step of the way. So this morning, I invite you to think about your God-sized need. Invite Christ into your celebrations as well as your desperate needs, and realize that He's there. I'm going to close with this thought. When the tornado hit, it was in March, by the way, the beginning of March, some years back in Henryville, I, like many of you, went down to Henryville and helped out. I helped rebuild a church and a house down there. And we happened to be there for lunch on the first day that the cafe was open. They had reopened this cafe, and of course it was the only place to get food in Henryville at that time, and it was just a buzz. It was one of these places where it's a little bit of a grocery store, a little bit of a cafe, and so they had a lunch counter, and the gal back there was working and cooking meals, lunches, and talking to the counter at the same time. And she was a delightful young woman, and so we were asking about everything, you know, that was going on, and she was sharing how this was the first day, and everybody's coming in and sharing this stuff, and so, you know, we told her what we were doing from a church, and she began to share a little bit of her faith and what she had been through and what the town had been through, but she told us one story, which we later saw that was in a magazine of photographs that we saw about Henryville, and she related this story of this young boy who had come home from school. He was staying with his grandparents, and they saw the tornado coming. They ran into the closest shelter, which happened to be one of those steel barns, you know, look like sort of from World War II, that are that half-round shape that's not very stable, but that was the closest thing. They ran into that. That's really not a good place in a tornado, by the way. And so they were just in fear and closing their eyes and praying, and later on, after the tornado, they were okay. They were interviewing this little boy and asking what happened, and he said, well, I heard the tornado, and we were praying, but I felt my grandparents, my grandmother, my grandfather, their arms around me, holding me firm and secure, and I felt okay. And the grandmother and grandfather looked at this little boy and said, well, you know, it's true that grandmother had her arms around you, but grandfather was holding the barn doors closed so the tornado wouldn't tear the doors off the barn. And the boy said, oh no, I felt distinctly two sets of arms holding me. And he was insistent on that, and so they realized that maybe it was an angel's arms that are wrapped around the boy and the grandmother, holding them firm and secure. And it reminds me in our life that God is present with us in the adversities and difficulties, and sometimes even the tragedies, that Jesus is always there. And Jesus invites us in to share our desperate needs. And in those desperate needs, those are God-sized needs, that we pray God-sized prayers and we can trust. And sometimes Jesus challenges us to do some things differently than what we would expect. Not come, but go. But trust my word, and you and I can trust that God is at work, that God is present in our lives, and God's power will see us through. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about your grace this morning in a special way around your table, we're so thankful that you listen to our needs. Sometimes they're just the need that's a celebration. We want your presence. And other times, Lord, we're just desperate for you to answer our prayers. And wherever we are in the middle, that you're there, that you listen to our prayers and our needs, and you step into our lives and make a difference with your presence and with your power. So help us to open our hearts and lives to you this day. Help us to trust your love and your grace and your power this day and always. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.